You. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes with the readings on Sunday, it's a little difficult to get to the theme that connects all three. Today, it's like in our faces, like Jesus said. You know, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave to all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life in ransom for the many. That, of course, was in response to James and John, the sons of thunder, who were, in some senses, they were Jesus' faves, right? Jesus kind of favored James and John in a lot of ways, as we see through the gospel. So in this short pericope, we're almost to Jerusalem. Jesus has made his way across, we've been following every Sunday across the top of the country and then down the Jordan, river, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and making his way to Jerusalem. He's almost there. And so John is beginning to reflect on the role of Jesus. What was Jesus' life to be? What was it supposed to look like? What was it supposed to essentially mean, right? And so helping to clarify are these two kind of klutzy guys that figured out that, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that. Jesus is the Son of Man, as Mark always says. They believe that. And so they come up to Jesus and they say, "Hey, Jesus. Something we like. Special favor here. When you get to heaven, we want to be one on your right and one on your left." And they've been faithful. They have been faithful to him. They have walked the walk. They have talked the talk. They have learned the lessons, sometimes by hard knocks. But they have been faithful. They attest that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus' response to them is not yes or no, it's a question. Okay, are you willing to drink from the cup that I am going to drink from? Are you willing to be baptized into the baptism that I have been baptized into? And he's not talking about his baptism in the Jordan. He's referring to the Hebrew meaning of baptism, the word holy, actually, in Hebrew, that digs much deeper than water being poured on your head. It's that connectedness that you have. Are you willing to connect to the Father the way I am being connected to the Father? And that means essentially, Jesus says, not by sitting at my right hand or my left, not by being given glory, but by putting your life on the line. By making yourself a servant. And he uses the word, which is a very powerful word in Greek. He uses the word slave. By making yourself a slave for the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus asked of those disciples. Because the world that they lived in, as Jesus said, the world that they lived in was about people with power and money and authority. Those kind of people ruled over other people. They took advantage of other people. They were the bosses. And Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven, which, by the way, is up there or somewhere, but it's also right here. We always talk about the kingdom here and yet to come. The kingdom of heaven is not about power and authority and lording over. The kingdom of heaven is about putting your life on the line for other people. And Jesus didn't make that up. He didn't pull that out of the air. Because we hear in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, which was 550 years before Jesus, we hear Isaiah, and it's second Isaiah. So it's written by followers of Isaiah who were in exile. It's written by a community that's banished out into Egypt and Babylonia and all over the countryside, out of Jerusalem. It's written about Isaiah prophesying to that community in what we call the suffering servant hymns of Isaiah. Are we like sheep, right? The one that Handel writes about, and we know that music. It's in our guts. It's about becoming slaughtered, as it were, for the kingdom of God. And the people in Isaiah's time, in Isaiah, they were talking about Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know his name. They hoped for a coming Messiah. And probably they were referring to Cyrus, this rogue king who was to free them and enable them to go back to Jerusalem, to their kingdom. And Isaiah took some hard knocks to be able to free the Israelite community in order that they might be able to return to their unity. So Jesus pulled that history out and he threw it in the face of his followers and he says, if you believe that the kingdom of God is like the kingdom of earth, then you're missing the boat. Because the kingdom of God is that moving through suffering and death into new life. The kingdom of God is that putting your life on the line for others. That's what it's about. And so it begs the question, at least it does. Well, and the Hebrews, not that I shouldn't, you know, don't have to get into it. But if you read Hebrews, the second reading, it's the same thing. There, St. Paul is referring back to Melchizedek, the first high priest who offered sacrifice for that same thing, the sacrifice of death to new life, the sacrifice of animals so that the God would favor God's people. And so it begs the question for me, and I think for all of us who consider ourselves to be followers of Jesus like James and John did, what does it mean for us to try to live in, right now, right here, right today, in the kingdom of God, rather than our own little kingdoms, whether it's our family or our friends or our church or our nation? And if we are living in the kingdom of God, that definition of power and authority, of real strength, that definition is transformed into the glory of being able to be of service to each other. The honor of being able to be slave to each other in the name of building the kingdom of God. The letting go of the fake and false power and authority of individuals, of money, of whatever it is, so that we can be with and for each other. All of each other. Not just the chosen few. What does that mean to me? What does it mean to us? How do I need to change my life from living the style of the kingdoms that we are used to become more like living the style that Jesus is calling James and John into? Because it's not about sitting in glory and splendor. It's about getting down and dirty in building up the kingdom in service to each other, in slavery to each other. And so what does it mean? I don't know. But I know that that is the call of the reading. That is the call of the readings today, all three of them, that same common theme. And I think about that, I was thinking about that in the context of our stewardship program that we're having here at Ascension. And how important it is for us to frame our stewardship, our giving back, our offertory, our offering in that context of being servant in the kingdom of God, of not worrying about splendor and glory, of not worrying about being taken care of in the kingdom of God because we know Jesus. And so what might that mean in how we give of our time? This is our expression. This community right here in this church, and those who aren't here today, who are part of this congregation, this is our best expression of what the kingdom of God is supposed to feel like and be like as we walk this earth together. Oh yeah, it should happen in our family and among our friends and at our school and at our work. It should be everywhere. But this is where we come together and say to each other, we believe this stuff to be true. We believe that following Jesus really does matter in my life. You say that at work, some places you may get fired. And rightfully so, because you're not supposed to talk about some of that stuff overtly at work, but just by how you act. So, how are we good stewards in our time? How do we make ourselves servants of each other in terms of giving of our time and energy to each other? How are we good servants of our talents, the skills that we have? How is it that we bring those things to the table and offer them freely in service here? And how is it that here encourages us to do it out there with the rest of the world? Our money. For us, in our society, money has become something very, very different from what it used to be in Jesus' time. I know that because I have had a little taste of it. I remember when I worked as a missionary in the Philippines in the 80s. And when we had offertory on Sunday morning, well, every day, we had Mass every day. And so every day this would happen. Whenever it was offertory time, it really wasn't about bringing up your piso, your what the Mexicans would call peso. Piso. It wasn't the Philippine piso. Some people had a little bit of money. Most people didn't. Most people didn't have any money. They bartered with fish and their work. And so when offertory came, there'd be some change, you know, on the altar brought up. But virtually every experience at every Eucharist, the front of the altar would be full of rice and fruit, sometimes a dead chicken or whatever it appeared to look like, I don't know, fish, those kinds of things. People would give of themselves. We in our society translate all of that into cash. We just do. It's how we work. Right? And so when we talk about gifts, offerings, you know, we're talking about time, talent, and cash. So how is it that we listen to the gospel and the other readings today and think of ourselves as slaves and servants when we think about how we give literally to this community, the enfleshment of our primary faith. I don't know. I am not probably the best guide for doing those kinds of things. But it's the question that appears before us as we move into our time of stewardship. That retranslation of where does real security come from? And in the kingdom of this earth, I know I depend a whole lot on myself. And I trust that, you know, I'm going to be able to take care of myself. And I'm not saying that's not to be thought about. But I am hearing this morning that that is to be stretched. That somehow it cannot in the kingdom of God, as a servant of Jesus who gives until the end, just be about me. And that needs to guide my giving of time, of talent, and of treasure. And then outside this place, the same thing. How am I aware of the needs of others? And how can I put myself to the service of building up the kingdom of God rather than safeguarding, walling ourselves in around our own stuff? Whether it's our church or our nation or whatever it is. How is it that we can always be desirous of servanthood? And as the gospel says, and it's not certainly interpreted the same way we interpret with our history slavery, but it is of that total dependence that a slave has on a slave's master. If we really trust that our Lord and Master is someone who gave all for us. And those are the questions of the day. And I don't have a whole lot of answers. And Jesus didn't have a real clear answer either. He didn't tell James and John how to do it. I kind of wish he would have, because maybe that would have given us a little bit of inspiration, right? All right, just do what James and John did. He did talk about selling everything you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. He said things like that. But we know that James and John are up there with Jesus. Probably, I suspect they're probably not sitting at his right hand and left hand either. Because by now, I bet they got the message. And that's the same message that all of us are encouraged to listen to as we continue our prayer around this table this morning. Amen.